Well, let's turn to Psalm 148, and this is where all this praise is displayed here. The first thing we want to look at is the praise of the heavens to the Lord God Almighty. And it says this, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all of his angels. So they're up there in the third heaven, praising God. Praise ye him and his hosts, or his armies. Praise you him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of the heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. Now there's an interesting clause. The waters that be above the heavens. Now, I would like to show you in Genesis something very interesting that shows us that there used to be a canopy of water around the earth until it rained for the first time. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights when it started raining and emptying that canopy around the earth of water, which kind of would imagine look like a ring of Saturn, the ring that goes around Saturn. Let's take a look at this in the creation. Genesis 1:6, first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6. It says there, God said, let there be a firmament or heaven in the midst of the waters, a heavenly place in the midst or the middle of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And so here, scholars lean towards, and I sure do with them too, that there was this canopy or circle of water around the earth, and there was a mist that came down and watered the earth. Now this would protect the things on the earth from the ultraviolet rays of the sun, which make you get old. And no wonder everybody lived to be about 900 years old then, as we read their ages, as we get into the genealogies in Genesis. It was like a, what's that called, a hothouse? A what? You know where you put plants inside? A greenhouse. And it's a greenhouse effect. And they have discovered ferns that grew 60 feet high and cockroaches 3 feet long. Oh, you can get the tapes from a scientist in the library that gives this information. I was blown away to hear it, and I'm so glad I lived today. And there's a guy with a little squirt gun that comes by to get even the little cockroaches, but 3 feet long. Amazing. And so no wonder there were dinosaurs and great big things that walked on the earth. A mist came out of the water that's above the earth and would water the earth. This is what the scripture tells us. But then when all of the wickedness on the earth was mature, I say it that way because it says that every thought of the imagination of man was evil continually. God said, Noah, start building the ark. And the Lord broke the bladder up there or whatever that was around the earth. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights straight. And the highest mountain in the earth was covered by 27 feet of water. And so that would be Everest now. But anyway, you got the top of the mountain. Let's say Mount Everest, because that's the tallest mountain in the world. And 27 feet above that was where the water was. The water covered the whole earth from the rain. And so I really believe that as the psalmist was writing, you waters that be above the heavens, he's thinking about this situation, this teaching, this wonderful word of God to let him know that there was waters above the heavens. He divided the waters from the waters and put the heavens in between. And that event actually happened. And still, there's a mist up there because it says that right here. And Sherry read the Amplified Bible on this for me this morning. And I mean, yesterday when I was studying this. And sure enough, that's what it says. So somewhere up there, there's some moisture going around. Let them praise, verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. So now what we've been talking about is the heavens, right? In these first five verses of Psalm 148, God starts with the top in Psalm 148, the heavens and the sun and the moon, praising God, the waters that were above the heavens, praising God, all these things praising God. Well, does it really mean that they were praising God? Yes, it really means that they were praising God, and actually the heavens can talk. Did you know that? Oh, my, that's a heavy statement. Got to show me scripture on that, Pastor. Okay, let's go to Psalm 19, and of course, this was a psalm that we studied a long time ago as we started the book of Psalms. But let's go to Psalm 19. And it says this, Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. Yes, the heavens declare the glory of God. They're praising the holy name of the Lord, as we've been reading in these verses in Psalm 148. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, that means heavens, shows his handiwork. Just going forth, looking at these things, looking at the stars at night, you're touched and you're moved by that. Day unto day, they utter speech. And there it is. They're uttering speech. And it goes on to say after that, and night unto night, they show knowledge as they're praising God. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So it doesn't matter if you're in Japan or Africa or wherever you are. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. One of my passionate encounters with Jesus in my early life, I believe I was in fourth grade, my grandmother took us out to Knott's Berry Farm, and that was before freeways, believe it or not, before there was hair, before there was anything. No, no, it wasn't that long ago, but it was before the freeway system, and we came out Artesia Boulevard from Manhattan Beach. That's where I lived. And it took a long time to get to Knott's Berry Farm, but it was sure worth it. But when we were at Knott's Berry Farm, they had a telescope there, and you could look at Saturn and Saturn's rings. And look, and we actually got to look at some of the moons of Jupiter also. And you know what? The heavens were declaring the glory of God to me that night. God was speaking in my heart. When I got in the back seat of my grandmother's car to go home from Knott's Berry Farm, I looked out the window and I was looking back up towards where we were looking with the telescope. And I felt God's beautiful voice speaking in my heart. And I was beginning to stir towards getting to know him and to love him. Because of that experience of seeing the glory of God in the heavens. And he certainly is there. He's right there. And so we read it here in Psalm 19. Now, I'd just like to read a few more verses from Psalm 19. Here it says, their line is gone out through all the earth, the line of seeing the heavens in the day and in the night, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, or a dwelling place for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. And so the sun and the awesomeness of the sun rise. Have you seen the sunsets lately? Oh, man, it looks like God took his paintbrush out. And you've got those kind of swatch deals in the sunset. It's so beautiful, the artwork of God. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So talking about the sun. Now it's interesting here in the Bible here, and this was written 1,000 years before Jesus was born. It says his circuit is on the ends of the heavens. Now, we used to just think that the planets revolved around the sun and the moons revolve around the planets, but that the earth is the sun is pretty much stationary. That's what we used to think. But then the scientists found out that the sun is actually on a circuit. It also moves, and it moves around the Milky Way, our galaxy, and makes a very slow circuit itself. And so, again, the scientists catch up with the Bible of things that God said 1,000 years ago, 2,000, 3,000 years ago. And that is the glory of God being revealed in the heavens. And their voice, their praise, is declaring his glory day and night as we observe these things. There's a question that's asked, what about the heathen that never heard about Jesus? Is God going to send them to hell because they never accepted Jesus as their Savior? And this man named Bob Thiem wrote a little book on that, and I thought it was so good. And it came out of the theological seminary in Dallas, Texas. So he's a strong Baptist man. Baptists love the word. Anyway, he talked about positive volition. And that is when a person sees the glory of God in the heavens, they have a choice to recognize that there is a God that created all these things. And that person begins to seek after that God, and according to the light that's given him, he takes in all that God brings him. And even if he never hears the gospel, he's still going to heaven because he's saying yes to God, yes to God. And God begins to convict that person of their sin. I remember an old missionary story, and I've heard it so many times, and it was told to me by one of the missionaries themselves, that they went to Tibet, actually, way up in the mountains of Tibet, and there was an elderly woman there, and they learned the language of the people so they could preach the gospel to them about Jesus. And so finally they were getting a grasp of their language, and they began to share with the people that Jesus came to die for their sins on a cross, and that they can be forgiven and have a relationship with the God of glory that you see in the heavens and hear about from the heavens. And she said, I already knew that. I was just waiting for someone to come and tell me his name. Isn't that beautiful? And you see, the Lord is really okay on his own. He's really okay on his own. He allows us to enter in to share about him and the death and resurrection of Jesus with our mouths, and people coming to him. But he's really okay on his own. He gives us the privilege to share in the work. So the heavens declare the glory of God. In Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament talks about this, that man is actually without excuse, because yes, the heavens do declare the glory of God and all of his wisdom and wonderfulness. And so here we have then in the first part of Psalm 148, the praise of God from the heavens. Now let's go on then and talk about a little further down. Let's go back to Psalm 148. And it says this, he has also established them forever and ever. Psalm 148, verse 6. He has made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth. So we're getting down to the earth now. Praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons. There's an interesting word, dragon. and all the deeps. Now, this is also translated sea monsters. Sea monsters, you dragons of the deep. And you begin to wonder, what does that mean? Is he talking about something that we might picture in our minds as a real sea monster, like in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea? Is he talking about something that might breathe fire? Because we have seen and heard things written about fire-breathing dragons. And you know what? You might think that that answer is no. But Job tells us a big yes on that one. Let's take a look at Job chapter 41. Just because you've never seen one doesn't mean they existed. And probably more prevalent in the earlier days before populations grew, and maybe even in the lake in Ireland, the Loch Ness Monster? Ever heard of him? Yeah, might be one of those guys. And just a few weeks, we're going to have a man come, Dr. Kendall, or is it Kendall? Yes, Dr. Kendall's going to come on a Sunday night. And he actually, at one of his times that he spoke to us, he teaches out at the Bible College in Marietta. Very, very intelligent man, and has studied these things, the dinosaurs and evolution versus creation and all. And he talks about how in Brazil, in a lake in Brazil, deep in the jungles, there's been spotted ancient, huge, huge creatures that you could call dinosaurs. And it's very, very interesting to hear him talk. You got to come to that one. It's a Sunday night, March, what is that, 16th, 15th? March 18th? Okay, good, yeah. All righty, but let's read right here. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with the cord which you let down? God's asking Job a question here, and he's talking about Leviathan, which is actually a sea monster that breathes fire. And we begin to read about him. Let's take a look at his description starting in verse 15 of Job 41. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. So he's a sea-going creature here, Leviathan. And God is just asking Job in verse 1, you really think you can throw a hook out and catch this dude like you would a fish to eat, a tuna? No. Let's talk about Leviathan. This guy has got really thick, thick scales, so close that air can't even get in. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. You can't pull them apart. You're not going to catch Leviathan and eat him. He's going to breathe on you and burn you. By his sneezings, a light does shine. So every time Leviathan sneezes, achoo, light comes out. And his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth goes burning lamps. What does that mean? Out of his mouth goes burning lamps. And sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goes smoke, as out of a seething pot or boiling pot or cauldron. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes out of his mouth. Whoa, this guy's a heavy-duty dude. Verse 26, the sword of him that lays at him cannot hold. In other words, nobody's going to come up and stab this guy. The spear, the dart, or the habergan, which is a javelin. You can even take a javelin to this guy, and it's not going to do you any good. He esteems iron as straw, So Leviathan will take anything iron that you come at him with, like a straw, just kind of blow it away. And brass is rotten wood. Verse 31. He makes the deep to boil like a pot. So when he's swimming along, and maybe he breathes a little bit, all of a sudden the water's boiling. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He makes a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary or white or gray. Upon earth there is none like him who is made without fear. He beholds all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. So the Lord is just saying, look, Job, you think you're tough, huh? Let me tell you about Leviathan. Let me tell you about the sea monsters that I make and made. You know, when you've got a lot of drawings and a lot of things in every culture in the world that point towards something, it could be that that something is real. So the Bible seems to tell us here that all these dragon stories and all these things that they make movies about and write books about, there's some truth to them. Of course, there's a lot of fiction in all those stories, and you got to watch out that you read the right one, that you won't get your spirit spoiled with a bunch of junk. But the reality of dragons and sea monsters could be really, really real. To me, that's exciting. You know, also in the book of Job, is the unicorn is mentioned. Those horses with the horn that comes straight out of their head, it's mentioned in the book of Job. We might be able to see some of those in heaven. Imagine just going up and saying, hi, Mr. Unicorn, would you give me a ride? And in heaven, always, everybody always says yes. So you might be able to ride one of those. I'm sure my granddaughter would love it. She's been collecting unicorns for years, little stuffed animals, you know. But just to let you know that these are the possibilities that we see in the Bible. This Leviathan, which God has described as this fierce animal that nobody can tangle with, praises him. And that's what we're reading. All the earth and the dragons of the deep praise God. They praise the Lord. And this is a marvelous thing to see and to hear about. And we'll even see a connection with the verse we're going to read in a little while. Now, let's go back to Psalm 148. And it says next, we begin to talk about the elements, fire, and hail, and snow, and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Fulfilling his word. All of these things, the fire, and the hail, and the snow, and the vapor, and the stormy wind, are all fulfilling God's word. You know, it's really neat that in the Gospel of John, Jesus uses wind as an example about being born again. Born again. And that's what we all hope to be, right? We all want to be born again of the Spirit. We want to open our hearts to Jesus Christ and say, come in, Lord Jesus. There's room for you. Please forgive me of my sin and cleanse me, Lord, and make me after your image. And then we are born again. We're born first by the water, meaning that our mother's water breaks and we come out of her stomach. And then we're born in the Spirit. And if we're born twice, we only die once. But if you're only born once and never born of the Spirit, then you die twice. Because it says in Revelation chapter 20 at the end, when someone is thrown into the lake of fire, when they go to hell, this is the second death. Die once on earth, and then after the great judgment of God, people die twice, the second death. So we want to be born again, don't we? Oh, God, born to me again. Take me for yourself. And I am as Jesus enters. Well, in Jesus' dissertation about that truth, he talks about the wind. And let's take a look at that. This is important for us about your life and the leading of the Lord in your life to understand the wind. So let's go to John and chapter 3, where Jesus talks to Nicodemus about being born again. I was at a pastor's conference this week, two of them actually, well, one last week and one this week. One was just a luncheon, but maybe some of you have heard of Dave Rolfe. He teaches on the radio at 1 o'clock every day. I love Dave. He's got such a great way of teaching. And he taught on John chapter 3 at the pastor's conference, and I'd never heard this before. And he started talking about the wind of the Spirit and being born again. Well, let's read these scriptures so we don't want to get it all weird, but let's go to the Word. So, John chapter 3, verse 7. Jesus says this to Nicodemus. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. You've got to be born again. You don't want to face the second death. You got to be born again. And then he uses the example of the wind right here, verse 8. The wind blows where it lists, or where it will, really, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes or where it goes. Isn't the wind kind of a weird thing sometimes? You can be seeing a flag go real heavily one way, and all of a sudden, the wind changes and it goes the other way. And so this is what Jesus is talking about. And he says, where it comes or where it goes. And then he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And then he kind of changes the subject, or Nicodemus asks another question. So we only have this one verse here. And it's, Lord, what are you talking about? The wind, you know? And so Dave Rolfe started making these points that were so good, I got to pass them on to you. When the church was born and the Holy Spirit fell upon the church, it says there was a great, mighty, rushing wind that came into the place where they were gathered. And they all began to speak in tongues and praise God in different languages. And it was the birth of the church. And that at that time, God did such a mighty work. 3,000 souls were saved after Peter was baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. And the wind of God was there. And as the Lord is speaking here about the wind, he says, you know what? The wind blows where it wants, and you hear the sound thereof. The only time we can really tell when there's wind is when we hear it blowing, or see the trees bending, and we know there's wind. But when the wind is still, there's no wind. And his point was simply this, that we as Christians, born-again Christians, people are going to see, and people are going to hear from us the things of God. And so we're like the wind. And we can come from this direction sometimes and that direction and say this thing or that thing or do this thing that nobody else thought to do ever. But it's of the Lord, because His Spirit is living inside of us and His wind is blowing. And when we become still and quiet, there's nothing happening. There is no wind, because you can't hear it and you can't see it. And so we as Christians, we want to stay awake in the Lord. Amen? We want to stay awake in the Lord. We want to keep moving. You never stop. You never sit down. In a spiritual sense, you need to rest and sit down. But I mean, God is always moving in that person that loves Him and giving that person new ideas, new wonderments to see. And I was thinking tonight about Dan, who came to church tonight here. Dan and Becky came to church. And I was wondering, Dan, if you could bless us and come on up to this microphone and just share about what happened to you, about your prayer ministry down at your house. Could you do that? Right now? Yeah. I just have a feeling that once he gets up there, he's going to be a preacher, you guys. Thanks, Dan. Thank you for sharing, brother. God bless you, man. So great. I just thought that would be so neat to have him share, because it's an example, sermon example, really, Dan, is what you were tonight, is this thing of the wind of the Spirit. The wind of the Spirit. You know the Lord, and I do, and we do, and you know God's going to be doing stuff like that, because that's what being born again is. You are born again. You're starting with Jesus, and you're starting with who knows what. How could I name what God will do with you? But it's so encouraging to see when it happens and the wind begins to blow. So I wanted to give that to you. And boy, this is one way the wind praises God, as, you know, being filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe there's one translation that includes wind in it. It's like God's breath. And I, you know, a neat thing, I was in Hawaii, Sherry and I were in Hawaii, we took the tour of the volcano, and we were up on the volcano, and the, what are they called, those guys that wear the gray hats and have a badge? Smokey the Bear, no, the ranger said that aloha actually means God's breath. So when you go aloha, you know, you're supposed to go ha. But she had the flu, so she didn't do that to us, and I was so thankful. But the thing is that it's God's breath, you know, God's wind. And so Jesus speaks about this, and I just thought that was so neat to dwell on. Okay, well, let's just go back. I want to give you a couple more scriptures. Let's go back to Psalm 148. It's 15 after now, so I'll get you done by 8:30. But I want to show you a couple more things in Psalm 148. The next thing says, verse 9, and here we are on the earth now. We've come from the heavens. We've talked about the elements. And the greatest creature in the water, actually, is God was bragging about Leviathan in Job. And so now we have in verse 9, the mountains and all the hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, like the cedars of Lebanon, which the temple was built out of, and also David's palace, the cedars of Lebanon. And so we have these things mentioned too. And you think, okay, Pastor, we're going too far now. Mountains praising God, trees praising the Lord, the cedars, the fruitful trees. Yes, and I'd like to give you a scripture on it. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12. Isaiah 55, 12. Now, Isaiah is past Psalms, and you come to it. It's one of the major prophets. And in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 12, it says this. It's talking to us as Christians, talking to the people of God. It says, for you shall go out with joy. I love this promise. I love all the promises of joy in the Bible. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And as you feel the joy rising up in your heart, that's strengthening you. You're getting stronger. You can start singing the Rocky song, getting stronger, because you got the joy of the Lord. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. I got peace like a river, joy like a fountain. And it says, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Is that true? Yeah. It's God's word. It's God's word. I believe every single jot and tittle, every single word in the Bible, and I've never, ever seen one to not be true. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. You ever had one of those great days? You're having no bad luck. There's no flat tires. And you get out there in the mountains and your heart could burst with joy. If you're walking with Jesus, that happens. Those kinds of days happen. And at that time, you can almost hear the hills singing. Oh yeah, I believe this. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And when we get into the kingdom age with Jesus ruling on the earth, I really think we're going to hear some mountains singing. I realize, how cool is that going to be? You'll just be walking in a beautiful meadow with mountains around you, and they break forth in, you know, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Oh, yeah. I mean, I just can't wait for the day. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Oh, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is talking about when the curse on the earth is gone and all of these beautiful plants and flowers and trees and mountains come up. Oh, God is getting praised by the mountains in the singing and the trees by the clapping. And you and I get to join in, don't we? We really do. We really get to join in when we sing in church. Okay, now the mountains and the trees. One more thing. Let's go back to Psalm 148. It says the mountains and all the hills, the fruitful trees and all cedars. And it says the beasts. Now we get to the animals, the beasts. And all cattle, creeping things, and flying fowl. Then man, the kings of the earth. And all people, princes and all judges of the earth. Both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalts the horn of his people. The horn is the strength of an animal, so it means strength. He also exalts the strength of his people. The praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him, praise ye the Lord. So as you can see in Psalm 48, we've started from the heavens, the stars, and all the creation. We've come down to the lower heavens. We've come down to the earth, to the strongest animal ever, the Leviathan. And we come down to the elements. We come down to the mountains and the trees and the flying fowl, the creeping things, the beasts of the field, the kings of the earth, and all the people of the earth. This is what we all should be doing, is praising God, praising him all the time, lifting him up, showing forth his excellencies in the earth. And so this is what Psalm 148 is about. As we come close now to finishing the final hallel, is what it's called, the last five chapters of Psalms called the final hallel, and hallel means praise. We get this instruction as we're going that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And actually it goes past that, doesn't it? Because I don't know if mountains and trees have breath, but I guess they would have to, wouldn't they? To sing and to clap their hands. But it is a wonderful thing. Now the beasts. So in the book of Revelation, we can confirm this idea of the beasts praising God. And so let's go and end with this final verse, Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. Now John is getting a vision of heaven, and he's seeing kings and priests there. He's seeing thousands, 10,000s times 10,000s, and thousands of thousands. That's the end of verse 11. And they're all saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb," that's Jesus Christ, "that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor, glory and blessing." And then John starts talking about the beasts, the creatures. "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth." So we're talking here about the chipmunks and the earthworms. "Every creature under the earth and such as are in the sea," Leviathan, "and all the whales," the blue whales, the gray whales, all of those porpoise and dolphins and the beauty of the sea, "and all that are in them heard I saying." So John's understanding what they're saying. So they're all speaking out the praises to God, because it says what they were saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures that are around the throne of God saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and which is to come." Continually around the throne of God, these four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. And so there it is. It's real clear. And the clearness of it is such a joy. It doesn't matter how much negative business is going on, how many wicked rulers or wicked people try to do us in or do you in and just completely bring us down, down, down. This is reality. The heavens declare his glory. And the earth and the beasts and the snow and the sleet and the rain and all of it. The wind. And when the wind of the Spirit stirs, something happens. Something wonderful happens. And it can be different in every one of us. And a brand new joy that comes forth. And so this is reality, brothers and sisters. You and I, and I've always got three fingers pointing back at me when I kind of point at you. You and I need to give up the doldrums. Just have a funeral for the doldrums. Just say, "I'm not going to do this anymore." You know, I am not going to sit in the tub of depression and soak. I'm going to get out of the slough of despond and get up and begin to worship the Lord with all of creation. Just go outside. Stop with all the fol-de-rol and listen to how many birds you can identify. And just go, "Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord." And let him lift your spirit. He's about doing good in your life. We're going to be thanking him forever as we become finished products in heaven. And so we might as well start now, don't you think? And that's why Daniel, our friend up here, is going to come right now and help us. Can you lead us in a song, brother? Just to worship the Lord. Let's worship God. Let's pray and then have Daniel come. And Edward, if Edward's still here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, so much for this Psalm 148. You really do give us a clear view. It's just the truth. There isn't anything that's not praising you. It's just so true. And it's, Lord, it's just as we choose not to. And Lord, it's really harder not to than to just go with it, Lord, and let your spirit flow. Help the non-believers out there, Lord, to wake up. Help us Christians to wake up and smell the coffee. And Lord, we just want to just wake up to your roses and Lord, just allow our noses to smell your roses and get out of the doldrums and leave it all behind. Lord, help us with that, Father. Just help us, Lord, to praise your holy name and allow your spirit to move. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, the prayer room's open for you. John Luke's in there. With a name like John Luke, how could you refuse prayer from him? So may the Lord bless you, and may you just have a great evening. And you wake up and spring out of bed. Praising God. Amen? Amen. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.